Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now, from the WMAL WinBet Studios, O'Connor and Company.
Because in the old days, they go, hey, that old man died. Now, they go, hey, he lost his battle. That's no way to end your life, you know. What a loser that guy was. Last thing he did was lose. He was waging a brave battle, but at the end, I guess he got kind of cowardly was what happened. And then the bowel cancer, it got brave. You got to give it to the bowel cancer. You know, they were in a battle, and then, what the And I'm pretty sure, I'm not a doctor, but I'm pretty sure if the cancer dies, I mean, if you die, the cancer also dies at exactly the same time. So that, to me, is not a loss, that's a draw. That's a, you know what I mean?
Well, I know it may seem dark, but I assure you that no one was darker than Norm MacDonald, and he would want us to be laughing today and reflecting, which is what I did with Meredith all afternoon and evening last night, watching these clips of Norm MacDonald, where we learned yesterday that he battled cancer to a draw last night at the age of 61. Joining me right now is my friend, colleague up in Philadelphia and on our sister station, KCMO, in Kansas City, Chris DeGaulle. Chris, I mean, you and I have in the past joked about some of our favorites out there and reflected on some of the great legendary lines of Dennis Miller and David Letterman. But boy, oh boy, Norm MacDonald really does stand up there with the giants, doesn't he?
You know, and you wouldn't have said it about him 25, 30 years ago. Mm. That's what's so amazing about Norm MacDonald is, you know, decades ago, Larry, and good morning to you and Sarah.
Good morning.
What is amazing is that 25, 30 years ago, people like Don Olmeyer, who ran NBC's entertainment division, fired him from Weekend Update because they didn't think he was funny.
Right.
I mean, they literally tossed him from his job at SNL because they thought he was so disastrously bad as the Weekend Update host, when in fact, I vividly remember 25, 30 years ago being in high school with my high school buddies laughing at this guy's irreverence. And guys like Don Olmeyer, who are paid millions of dollars to run a network, they literally didn't get it.
Yeah.
They couldn't understand what made him click with high school kids like me.
Yeah.
He was a genius. And by the way, that clip you just played,
mm-hmm.
Can you imagine being so brilliant that you literally crafted a joke that you could play at your own funeral about the thing that took your life?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's how brilliant that guy is. That joke could be played at his funeral, and he'd want it to be played, and that was just epic. It's
yeah.
mesmerizing.
You know, you're so funny, and you remind me, he got fired from Saturday Night Live, and then a year and a half later, they bring him back to host Saturday Night Live. And I don't even know if you remember this. I was watching during the monologue. He said, no, this doesn't make any sense, because how can I suddenly become funny in just a year and a half? That, you know, I wasn't funny a year and a half ago. They fired me. Now they want me back. But then I realized, oh, it's not that I got funnier. It's just that the show really sucks now.
No, you know, and what was so wonderful is he was always so avuncular, self-effacing. He always, what I thought was masterful about Norm MacDonald was that he always played down how brilliant he was, even when he was telling the story of being fired on Letterman, from Saturday Night Live. He kind of complimented management and said, well, no, I'm sure they're nice people just trying to do their work. And Letterman scolded him. He said, would you stop being nice? They fired you, you quizzling. Stop right. being a quizzling. And Norm MacDonald said, I don't even know what quizzling means. But, you know, he was a genius, but always loved to play dumb. You know, he wrote for Roseanne. So he had this remarkable way of he read. He was a voracious reader.
Mm-hmm.
His use of the English language was brilliant. He had a depth of knowledge and history that was amazing, but yet he could write for the blue-collar, working-class, quintessential show of its time, Roseanne.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. It's a gift.
Yeah, and he also sort of transcended a lot of different generations. Like you and I are pretty much the same generation. I still believe that was the
Well, you're much older than me. But you have a much younger wife.
Thank you. That generation of Saturday Night Live, I think, was absolutely the pinnacle. From Dennis Miller to Dana Carvey to Phil Hartman to Adam Sandler to David Spade to John Lovitz to Norm MacDonald. And I'm sure I'm leaving some. Oh, and Chris Farley and stuff. That I mean, just hilarious. And by the way, when you go back, we've got some clips of him doing a Weekend Update. Here, listen to this. This is what bothers me the most about watching this. Listen to what Saturday Night Live used to do with Weekend Update.
A frightening moment this week for First Lady Hillary Clinton. Her plane, en route to the former Soviet Union, was forced to make an emergency landing when it was discovered that a frayed wire in the engine was causing serious malfunction. The president was said to be furious and demanded an immediate investigation of what went wrong with Operation Frayed Wire.
Now, he just made a joke about the president, Bill Clinton, putting together an operation to assassinate his wife, Hillary. You would never hear anything close to that on Saturday Night Live now.
You wouldn't. You absolutely wouldn't. You probably saw the clip that was floating around yesterday of the early days of The View, when Barbara Walters was still hosting it, where he sat there and, I don't know, Bill Clinton came up somehow in the conversation and he said, oh, hadn't you heard? He killed a guy.
Yes.
He murdered a guy.
He's a murderer in the White House.
He's a murderer, you know. I mean, what I loved about him was, and this is what, clone cufflink executive types just didn't get about his comedy. His comedy was, as you said, dark, but it was also very blunt and direct. He was the master of the pregnant pause, and he would say these really kind of striking, dark things. He murdered a guy, and then he just let it hang uncomfortably. And people like Barbara Walters don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
And they just start freaking out. You just accused the president of murder. And he would just say it as a matter of fact. Oh, I thought that was kind of common knowledge. Yeah, he killed the guy. You didn't know that?
Yes,
you hadn't heard that?
I thought it was common knowledge. I thought that was just accepted fact. I'm really sorry. I thought everybody knew that. Chris, I'm sensing some real pent-up hostility against network broadcast executives from you today.
Well, I just
is there something that you want to share with us that transcends this issue of Norm MacDonald and NBC?
I have, for years and years. Now I understand his politics today are not what ours are, but I was a Letterman fan, as you probably were, as millions
absolutely.
Were when he was funny, when comedy mattered, when things were different 30 years ago, and people were specializing in comedy and making people laugh. Letterman was of the same ilk. I viewed Norm MacDonald very much like I viewed Letterman in that day, in that era. Men who were, and Conan O'Brien is another guy who, again, set aside politics if you can. These are really unique, brilliant guys who people in charge of entertainment didn't understand and were connecting with people who I was in my teens then watching these guys. I loved them, and they were constantly being fired and shuffled around and moved, and I kept reading in trades that these guys aren't funny.
Right.
Only to, find later that they had these cult-like followings where they basically had to admit we're idiots and don't know what we're doing, which is so often the case for people that run entertainment divisions or make entertainment decisions. They hire dopey people to do jobs they can't do.
But not talk radio. We are immune from such things.
Oh, no.
I just want to make sure everyone recognizes.
Our bosses are... fantastic, of course.
Chris, hold that thought. No, hold it. You can in a moment, but we have things to do here. We were running a professional radio operation, so stay there. Chris DeGaulle, we'll continue with Chris on Norm MacDonald in just a moment. My buddy Chris DeGaulle, who has absolutely no hair, completely bald as a cue ball. Right now, 75 degrees in your nation's capital, 547 on WML. We continue with the follically challenged Chris DeGaulle here, morning host in Philadelphia, and also host on our sister station, KCMO, in Kansas City, Missouri. And Chris, you mentioned Conan and Letterman, and it struck me, everybody has a skill set in entertainment and in community. Norm MacDonald was a great writer, as you pointed out. He wrote for Saturday Night Live, wrote for Roseanne. He was a great stand-up. His delivery was just absolutely unique and incomparable. He was also brilliant. In fact, probably some of his funniest moments was as a guest. If you're Conan, if you're Letterman, and you book Norm as a guest, you don't have a whole lot of work to do that night. And that's a very unique skill set, too.
Yes, I was reading some of the tweets of people that, you know, I respected, at least comedically, that I respected, talking about Norm Macdonald. And Letterman was one who, well, Conan said, "I am absolutely devastated about Norm Macdonald. Norm had the most unique comedic voice I've ever encountered, and he was so relentlessly and uncompromisingly funny. I will never laugh that hard again. I'm so sad for us today."
Yeah.
Letterman's official tweet on it was, if I can find it quickly. Yes. "In every important way in the world of stand-up, Norm was the best, an opinion shared by me and all my peers. Hmm. Always up to something, never certain, until his matter-of-fact delivery leveled you."
Yes.
Yes, he was one of those guests you just sat back, you know, you pulled the string and watched in amazement. Because the thing is, you didn't, I think everybody appreciated this about him, you never knew where he was going to take a joke.
Yeah.
Did you see the clip of him joking about the death of the croc hunter 10 days after the croc hunter was killed?
Yes, with John Stewart.
Did you see that?
Oh, God, it was fantastic.
It's just, who would think of a guy dying 10 days later and saying, well, you know, 44 years of age for a guy called the croc hunter, that's a ripe old age.
Right.
And that's just damn funny. True. And you know, do you think the crocodiles are sitting around asking one another, "He got killed by a fruity fish?
Right.
None of us didn't. We didn't get him."
By the way,
that guy would laugh.
This is another thing, and you remind me of this too, Chris DeGaulle. I got to say, in his use of the language, you know, who would say 44 years old is a ripe old age for a crocodile hunter? Ripe old age. He had these throwbacks to, like, that's something someone in the 30s would have said. And that added to the humor of it.
He loved old-timey language.
Yeah.
I would recommend to you, if you're a fan, watch his Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee conversation with Seinfeld, which is a brilliant one. His Hitler's dog.
Yes, Hitler's dog is absolutely legendary.
On Netflix. If you don't watch the Netflix special from 2017, you should. Him telling the story of the Apollo 11 moon landing. I know you're probably short on time. Talking about Michael Collins, he said, "Do you know who Michael Collins is?" "No, of course you don't. He's the third guy in Apollo 11. Nobody talks about him. Buzz Aldrin, you know, Neil Armstrong, they walk on the moon. Michael Collins had to stay in the capsule." He kept talking about Michael Collins stuck in the capsule, never got to get out on the moon. And he's looking out the window. Are they golfing? Are they driving a dune buggy? So he's telling the whole story of the first moon landing through the eyes of the guy that had to stay in the capsule. This is how masterful he is. He tells this whole story about Michael Collins being indignant, but then Neil and Buzz come back into the capsule after having fun on the moon, and he says, "How was it, guys?" And trying to save Michael Collins' ego, they say, "It was okay if you're into that sort of thing."
Right.
Like, it was just so wonderful. Yeah. Who would think about that kind of thing the way he did?
Well,
I will just miss him terribly.
And you're right. And that right there is where, when you say who would think of that, that's why people are using the word genius right now instead of, "Oh gosh, funny guy died." And final moments here, you know, I was grieving yesterday. This was a gut punch. I mean, it was like someone in the family. That's how I took this, because it's a part of my life, part of my youth. You know, I can chart my development as a human being and as a, you know, whatever mediocre wit I might have alongside Norm Macdonald, as an icon, but also my 25-year-old younger brother-in-law, because there's a new generation that discovered him, as you said, through Netflix and through his show. And that tells you something, because usually you don't bridge multiple generations like Norm Macdonald did. So I guess, I don't know, what does this say about how we are all reacting in an emotional way? Just in terms of how much we still do very much rely on pop culture and on entertainment to get us through our lives. And that's why I think we're so affected by it.
We're emotional about it because those of us who appreciate comedy and real entertainment realize that the good ones, the true ones, who are invested in really making people laugh and not partisan hacks, they're dying.
Mm.
And entertainment, as we knew it, as we all genuinely rallied around and appreciated, is dying, and everything is becoming this corrosive, gross political food fight. Everything, all the time, where comics are now court jesters for the bureaucrats and the Democrats who are in charge. They're not comedians anymore, and that's dispiriting, because Norm Macdonald didn't give an excrement about
politics. He didn't care about trying to score political points. He didn't care who was in the White House. And those men and women are becoming farther and fewer in between. And,
yeah.
and that's a sad thing. That's why I agree.
And they, you're right. I think you're spot on as usual. That's why we asked you to join us today. And it also, you know, focuses the fact that we have to grieve them and appreciate them while we can. Chris DeGaulle, thank you, my friend. You have a good show this morning. Thanks for joining us. You know, some of us start our shows at 5 a.m.
Well, I got to polish my head.
It's 5:53 on WMAL.